Action. Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What? Who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
How you doing?
It's time for the highly sought-after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
And welcome back to the highly sought after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show. Final hour of the week. Can I say something that I haven't said in a long time? I mean, T-Mac is the producer of the show, so I probably should ask him. Hey, Macaroni, can I say something that I haven't said in a long time?
As long as the FCC is okay with it, I'm okay with it. What's up?
No, the FCC, did you see the story I wrote today at Bassmaster.com in my other life?
Oh, my gosh. What'd you say?
I mentioned that because I mentioned it. I talked about this weekend is the one-year anniversary of Bassmaster Radio. And so I talked about the history of Bassmaster Radio and how it was born from Bass Buck and Duck Radio, which Bass Buck and Duck is a website for West End Outdoors. And I mentioned in there that it was a great name, Bass, Buck, and Duck Radio, but I always had to be very careful because if I got too excited or fast and loose with the title, I would have the FCC, you know, beating down the door. So that's funny that you said that, FCC. No, I want to say something I haven't said in a while. This is not that dramatic. I just want to say it. I just want to say that I said it. Can I say it?
Yeah, go ahead. What's up?
Yankees 3-1 over the Tigers. Red Sox 4-3 over the Twins. Tampa Bay beat Pittsburgh by a score 6-3. The Miami Marlins beat St. Louis 6-4. And the New York, by God, Mets beat the Atlanta Braves by a score of 6-2. The Dodgers are up 13-5 over the White Sox in the bottom of the seventh. I
wanted to say that. You know, I just wanted to say baseball. You know what I mean?
Did it feel good? It sounded like it felt good. It sounded like you felt real good about that.
I did. It scratched an itch. It did. It scratched an itch. And in fact, now I got to click on the Oakland LA game and see the video of it. See what's going on there. That game is. I got NASCAR qualifying on one TV over here. And I've got the Alabama Washington State game on the other. Alabama leading by a score 12-4 now in the bottom of the seventh. You know, Brad Bohannon, it's off to a nice little start, don't you think, here? I mean, that doesn't suck for old Brad Bohannon to be, you know, getting off to a start that he's gotten off to. Good job by them.
A 9-4? I mean, they struggled early in that game, didn't they? And now they're coming out just whacking Washington 12-4. State.
Now it's 12-4.
Oh, 12-4. I didn't even hit refresh. I got to hit refresh there.
Yeah, no, it's 12-4 with two outs, bottom seven. And, I mean, they're looking to get it to 5-0. And we'll see how that works. So for Brad Bohannon getting things started. It's been a fun day. Because of, you know, right now, I just clicked on I get the MLB TV thing, you know, so I can watch the Major League Baseball games. And it's the top of the eighth inning, the game between the A's and the Angels. And number 75 is pitching to number 87. And I don't even care. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't care. Two guys that are going to be playing, they wouldn't even be playing in Huntsville if we had a Huntsville team yet. But yet, they're playing there. I really hope that our team.
Yeah, we, baby.
I hope that the North Alabama, what did we decide with? Arsenal. I hope that the North Alabama Arsenal becomes the Oakland A's affiliate. That's what I hope. I hope they become the Oakland, because we could party like 1985. And I want the Oakland A's because the A's are the affiliate of the Nashville Sounds, AAA affiliate of the Nashville Sounds the sounds are for the A's. And so we'd have that same deal where guys could go back and forth. It would be brilliant for Oakland because it's bad enough that their AAA affiliate's halfway across the country. So for them, they could move guys up and down between AA and AAA and have them be an hour and a half away up and down 65. And that makes sense for them. Oh, we're sending three players. We could send them to Nashville. One's going to, down to Huntsville or Madison. One's going to Madison, and the other one's going to Nashville. We send them on the same aeroplane. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just put them on a plane, boom, send them out there.
You often make too much sense for
sometimes
a lot of things going on in the sports world. So you might want to cut that out if you want to keep doing this.
Sometimes I do make a little bit of sense. I mean, it happens all the time. All right, we talked a lot about the big story in college basketball, but I don't know how big a story it is. I mean, it's an interesting story to CD. Now, Grumpy, okay, now I'm taking calls. Call the show. He's like, when are you taking calls? Grumpy's listening to the show in his Gator or whatever it is that he drives out on the farm. He rigged it with a radio, because we're a blowtorch now, and he can listen in Fayetteville, Tennessee, and he's got one of those things, the Yamaha Rhino deal. It's like the John Deere Gator. So he's, driving around on the farm. He wants to know when he could call the show. Call the show. We still have never gotten a call from Keith on the tractor, have we? Has he ever called from in the tractor? I mean, he's got to be planting crap and stuff now, right?
Yeah, we hadn't heard from Keith in a while. Last time we heard from him was back in the middle of fantasy football season. So I want to say he called from outside one time, though. I think he said he had it on while he was working out there.
The Cat in the Hat, well, he's always got it on.
Yeah.
The Cat in the Hat says that that's the way it was in the beginning of the Stars, Tom. Is that true? Was Nashville the A's affiliate as well? I don't know that Nashville was the A's affiliate as well. Are you sure, Cat in the Hat? Check that out. Because in 85, wasn't Nashville in double A? Check that. All right, Cat in the Hat, figure that out, research it, and let me know. Because, you guys have been wrong a lot today. I'm just going to say this about you. I brought up the Tyson story because last month, the Brown Bomber, Deontay Wilder, was asked if he felt he could beat Mike Tyson back in Mike Tyson's prime. And he says, I got to keep it real. I always keep it real. There's no old school or new school fighter who can beat Deontay Wilder. I'd knock them all out. Well, of course he's going to say that. He has to say that. That's what we want to hear from the champ, right? Now, Tyson then was jumped by the TMZ folks, and they asked him about it. And I'll be honest with you, the look he had on his face was that he didn't even know who Deontay Wilder was. And then after that, he went into, I don't think he could beat me. Of course he's got to say that. He's Mike Tyson. Was he going to say, oh, yeah, he would have beat me? Now, my take is that I think Wilder would have beaten Tyson because of size and boxing ability, because of movement and size and boxing ability. Tyson could not beat Lennox Lewis. He could not beat Evander Holyfield. He did beat Larry Holmes, but he only beat Larry Holmes 3 years after Holmes was washed up. It was Holmes' third straight loss by the time Tyson got to him. I don't think Wilder would beat Lennox Lewis, and I don't think Wilder would beat Holmes at his prime. And I don't think Wilder would have beaten Holyfield. And he sure as hell wouldn't have beaten Ali. He might have had a shot against Joe Frazier. Those kind of guys that were plot, because Joe Frazier was just a little bit bigger Mike Tyson. In retrospect, as bad a man as Mike Tyson was, there was no competition for him early on. They set him up with one tomato can after another. He beat a lot of bad fighters that went to jail. It was never right. But I think that, in my opinion, I think that Deontay Wilder would box, punch, stab, jab, move, and eventually take him out.
Now, are you saying, would he knock him out or would it go to
a decision?
I think
eventually he'd take him out, yeah, because Tyson's not going to be in a decision. Tyson's going to punch himself out. It would have been kind of like the rope-a-dope fight. It would have been kind of like Ali Frazier. It would have been along the lines of Ollie Frazier. Not that he would fight him that way. Not Ollie Frazier. Ollie Foreman. I think Tyson would be come in. He'd be throwing haymakers. He'd be trying to take him down. And if he didn't break a rib and get him to bend over, he'd have a hell of a time hitting him in the face, in the head. And I think that Wilder will move, punch, stick. Now, next week, Anson Wainwright's going to be on the show to talk about the fight with Ruiz between Deontay Wilder and undefeated Luis Ruiz, which is finally going to happen unless Ruiz blows the piss test again. So I'm going to ask him next week what his thoughts are about Wilder and Tyson. Let's go to the lines. Grumpy's a fight fan. He might have something to say about this. Grumpy, what's going on, man?
Yeah, the only reason I called in is you guys are missing the best boxer that Tyson ever beat. I mean, in his career, the best boxer. Yeah, Holmes was a big name. The signature win for him, and it wasn't the best boxer, was Spinks.
Spinks
came in at 31-0.
Yeah.
Tyson, showed he could box there. But to me, the
Stop there. 91 seconds was not boxing. He jumped Mike Spinks and knocked his ass out.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember that fight. Right. That wasn't boxing. That was – he went in there, and he was a bad man at that point in time. There was no doubt about it. He had gotten to 35-0. He walked right into Spinks' jaw and just hammered him. I don't think that he walks in on Spinks like that. I don't think he walks in on Deontay Wilder like that.
Okay, how about this? The best boxer that Tyson ever fought, for fight fans out there my age, was Tony Tucker. 6'6". Won the Pan Am Games gold medal.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ever beaten as an amateur. National championship multiple times. He was, 35-0 when he fought Tyson before Spinks. He had an 82-inch reach. Tyson outboxed him and won a 12-round decision.
Yeah.
And that was the best boxer Tyson fought in his career, and he outboxed the man.
That was the
82-inch reach. Wilder's only got an 83.
That may have been Tyson's best win, certainly going a distance against a guy like Tony Tucker. But look, just the fact that you just said Tony Tucker, doesn't that speak to the fact that that era was not very good with the heavyweights? And when he ran into the good heavyweights, which were Holyfield and Lewis.
This? Chris Abiola, Molina.
Oh, they suck.
DeHoppa.
They suck. You're right. They suck. They suck. Or Ortiz isn't bad.
Those are properly pronounced names. I mean,
Canna beans. Yeah. No, you're right. The Staverns and these guys, until he gets with Joshua, until he get, the Klitschko ship has sailed. Those guys are out of boxing now. Tyson, if he fights that guy over there in England,
It's going to come down. It's going to come down to this. If he doesn't quit, he being Wilder, if he doesn't quit leaning forward, he's going to get knocked out. The man does not fight like he's 6'7". Watch him. He leans forward. I saw two of his fights live. I saw Molina clock him twice. Tyson, if he got in there, would have knocked him out both times. Molina hit him with everything he had twice. It was just Molina doesn't have the fight that Tyson had.
Well, you know who does.
I mean, it's coming. If he keeps leaning in, it's coming.
Who does is Luis Ortiz. I mean, Ortiz is undefeated. He's got a hard head. And he brings a wallop. The thing is Ortiz is much smaller than Wilder in terms of height. He's a much shorter guy, so he may have a hard time with reach. It might come down to until he gets Joshua, until he gets one of the other big fighters, and there are several that are in that 6'5", 6'6" range. That's what it's going to be very interesting to see him fight a guy his own size. Because he's so much taller.
Let me say this too. Artur Splitka, Splitk.
Yeah.
Splitka.
Yeah.
Fought Wilder with head movement. Tyson used to move his head quite a bit. He was a great head mover. I mean, his head was moving all the time.
He did. He bobbed his head a lot.
This is my point. Head movement against Wilder drives him crazy. Wilder missed 175, this number is true, 175 punches missed in 9 rounds.
Yeah.
Against the guy moving his head. 175 in one fight.
Yeah, but that wasn't. I don't think that was a very impressive. I don't know how into that whole fight that he was. I mean, he ends up winning that fight pretty easily, and even missing.
Flipka won the first three rounds. Wilder was only ahead by two rounds.
Don't you remember how he was acting like he didn't even care? Yeah, I think he was not. I don't think he prepared
saying,
well.
Wilder, if somebody moves their head, and it's coming, man. When he fights somebody his size, let me just say this because you'll say, "Yeah, Grumpy was right again." When Wilder's looking up, counting the slides because he was leaning in, you'll be like, "Yep, that uppercut got him."
I don't think that would have been Tyson. I just think that the size advantage and the movement, I don't think Tyson chops down the big man. I mean, I think he's closer to Lennox Lewis than he is to, you know, going in there and getting chopped down like that. I think in the end of the day, Tyson, I think, ends up being overrated. I think we look at Tyson and what he did when he walked in and the way he was. But look at those guys. Those guys, they set him up with some real bums. And it was a very, very thin class then. Now, you could say it's a thin class now without the Klitschko brothers. Yeah. But there's some good – have you seen this Anthony Joshua fight? This kid is a stud. I mean, he's as big as Wilder and is more polished. You know, Tyson Fury is a guy that's his size who beat Klitschko as well. There's some good fights that are coming, no doubt about it.
Yeah, that's the thing about boxing is they're always coming. They rarely give them to us. Tyson would have broke the man's ribs, and it would have been over, dude.
He would have needed to do that.
Tyson's the only heavyweight. Tyson's the only heavyweight that people remember him for his losses. That's how great he was. He's not remembered for his wins. He's remembered for his losses. That's how many haters he's got.
Well, he ended up with six. I mean, you know, there are other guys we remember, you know, their losses, but they're great, great fighters.
Ooh.
You know, right? Well, I'm just saying. I mean, when you think about Muhammad Ali, you think about him getting his jaw broken by Ken Norton, or you think about him getting beat by Joe Frazier and getting knocked down in the 14th round in Madison Square Garden by Frazier. You think of him getting beat by Leon Spinks and then beating the hell out of Spinks after that. I think you can make that case. But when you look at Tyson, it was stunning. The Buster Douglas fight was clearly stunning. But by the time he was getting beat by Evander Holyfield, he and Holyfield could be fighting today still, and Holyfield would still be beating him. And at that point in time, did you think Holyfield was an all-time great fighter?
I think he made himself that. I think his discipline is, absolutely, just like the executioner.
Those
two guys showed what you can do if you're determined.
You know, it was one of the most underrated all-time heavyweights. Lennox Lewis. No, not Tom Abraham. Lennox Lewis. I think Lennox Lewis is an all-time great.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
absolutely. But because of that big old jab he had.
He was a beast.
You.
Yeah. Tyson was ranked.
Big old shoulders.
Tyson was ranked. I'm looking for the link to it right now. I want to find the link to it. Tyson was ranked the 14th greatest heavyweight in the history of boxing. I'd like to know. It'd be interesting to see. Oh, here it is right here. Interesting to see who it was that they had ahead of him, but they got him as the number 14. It was Ring Magazine. I'm going to have a great conversation about this with Anson Wainwright from Ring Magazine next week.
This was the weakest part of my argument, is the Spinks fight. Spinks wasn't a heavyweight. He was a light heavyweight, drank a few beers to fight heavyweight. So Tyson's Spinks fighting a lighter man.
And you know, Tyson could have been a light heavyweight, really. Tyson might have been a better fighter at 185 pounds than he was at, you know, I mean, he carried a little extra weight. He was not as big as he fought, you know what I mean? I think that, you know, he could have been.
I'll say this, I'll let you tell me. I think you could have dropped Tyson into a boxing ring from bare knuckle on any time in history, and he would have held his own with any of them. All right, man. Thanks.
I think you could have dropped him in a ring up until Ali, and he would have whooped them all. I think he would have beaten Joe Lewis. I think he would have beaten Rocky Marciano. Rocky Marciano was not a big man. Those were the guys that tell him everything changed with Ali. Because after Ali, all of a sudden we start seeing in each generation one or two or three big men that can move a little bit. So I think that it kind of changes a little bit when you get there. But Tyson – was an old school brawler. He was Joe Frazier. He was Sonny Liston. He was, you know, I mean, he was Rocky Marciano. He was Jersey Joe Walcott. He was an old school brawler. But the boxers took him out. Let me get Paulie in a cape in here. Paulie, what's going on?
It is the most sacred and holiest day, the Friday trifecta. I'm ready.
It is, man. Are you ready? You didn't even get in yet.
I am ready. I'm ready.
All right. Auburn at Florida, straight up.
Are we talking basketball?
Yes, we're talking basketball.
Oh, what's the record?
Florida's a 2.5-point favorite, but I'm not giving the points. Auburn is number 12 in the country, and Florida is not ranked, and Auburn is a top 12 team or top 10 team.
I'll take Auburn.
That's a good pick. The Blues are at the Predators on Sunday on NBC, noon your time, 11 our time. Blues at Preds, straight up.
Who's the favorite?
Well, the Preds are at home.
All right, take the Predators.
All right. And then give me a car in the Atlanta 500. And if you get the first two games right, whoever has the highest finishing car is going to be our winner.
I think Jimmy Johnson, because he's pissed off he got caught up in that trash wreck.
No.
I think Jimmy Johnson.
Let's go pick. All right, Paulie. We got
Yankees.
Man. Yeah. Did you watch him today? Well, he's gone. He said, go Yankees. Did you watch him today? That's the key. Did you watch him? It's a good break.
I did not watch the Yankees today.
I know you didn't watch him.
But
Paulie's a big Yankees fan. So, you know, if you're a big Yankees fan, you got to watch the first day of spring training. Plus, Giancarlo Stanton. Had a couple of at-bats. Didn't do anything. Got a walk and ground out to the shortstop. I think he's overrated.
Yeah.
Get him out of the lineup. He played right field. They didn't even play Judge or Gary Sanchez, but they did roll out Giancarlo Stanton. But number 83 pitched for the Yankees, so I don't know about that guy.
It's going to be solid. 83, solid.
Solid. 83 is good, man. All right. Oh, Cat in a Hat. Let me just see what he said. Everybody, thing going on. Let's see. Oh, see? Hang on a second here. Let's see what the Cat in the Hat said. That was the way it was in the beginning. That was when he said that, and I challenged him, like I challenged everybody today. Not sure what Nashville's affiliate was, but they were the Triple when the Stars started. It was really cool seeing those big A's come through here. Yes, the A's guys came through here. Then the... Both Nashville was the triple A affiliate of the Brewers, and the Stars were the double A affiliate of the Brewers. So all of those guys, did you know T-Mac? Ryan Braun and Prince Fielder and Ricky Weeks, those guys all played at the same time for the Huntsville Stars.
I only know that because you told me before.
Yeah.
But that's the only reason I know. I didn't know all that stuff.
Oh, I can't. Wait a minute. Jeez, Cat in a Hat.
Uh-oh, what do you do?
Because he texted me again. He said, hey, I've had brain surgery 3 weeks ago, so give me a little break. Just got 63 staples out of my head.
Oh come on, man.
Oh, man, I can't bust on a guy that had brain surgery.
You busted on him. He told you after the fact, man. That's cold.
I mean, that ain't right. I'm ripping on him. I'm telling him, you know, all you guys are idiots out there. Well, this dude had brain surgery. That's tough. All right, let's grab a break. It's Tom Abraham Show. 7:30, 103.9 AM.
Sports Radio, 7:30, 103.9. The Ump. It's time for 60 with Cole Kubelik.
Pete Thamel and Pat Forty have released photographs of evidence from the FBI's investigation into the NCAA basketball players, coaches, AAU coaches, families, and so on and so forth. Some pretty damning evidence. A lot of money being exchanged. And the reality is, we won't know the true scope of this as far as what can or will be done until we find out who knew. how many schools were involved in maybe negotiating money, how many schools were involved in allowing this to happen, how many schools flat out just knew that cash was being exchanged between players and agents. But like I always say with the NCAA, when it comes to situations like this, you better be able to prove it.
Don't miss the Cube Show with Cole Kubelik and Arky Shea. Weekday morning 6 to 10 a.m. only on The Ump.
Have you ever worked at a place where they didn't want you talking about your salary? Actually, have you ever worked anywhere where they did? Unlikely. But don't you have a right to know? If only there were a simple solution. Well, now there is.
How we find jobs has changed. On Indeed.com, our company reviews give you the inside track on thousands of companies. You can research salaries, benefits, company cultures, and more. All on Indeed.com. Search for greatness. Search Indeed, the world's number one job site. Indeed is the world's number one job site, according to Comscore total visits.
As a small business owner, you're juggling it all, including customers' calls from your personal phone. But with Grasshopper, you get a business phone number and a business phone system from our mobile app, so you can work smarter, not harder. Grasshopper for its calls, texts, even transcribes voicemails. Everything you need to simplify your business and stay responsive. With Grasshopper, there's no long-term contracts and customer support is 24/7. Whether you're starting or growing your business, Grasshopper is the answer. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers. Separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. And the force that makes sure our military serving 7,000 miles away gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every comfort of family, home, and country possible. It's a good feeling to make a difference. Visit uso.org/force to learn how you can be the force behind the forces.
Every 2 minutes, a child enters foster care in the United States. More than 23,000 of these youth age out of foster care without anyone to protect them and care for them. You can be the difference for a child or teen in foster care. To learn about fostering or adoption, call SAFY today at 334-270-3181 or visit the website at safy.org. Consider becoming a foster parent, an agent of hope. Log on, safy.org.
As a parent, it's what you do.
You protect your children.
You teach them how to brush their teeth.
How to wash their hands.
To look both ways when crossing the street.
You take them to the doctor when they're sick.
And you vaccinate them.
And you vaccinate them.
And you vaccinate them.
I didn't know there was a vaccine for meningococcal meningitis, and my daughter died.
And my daughter died.
And my daughter died.
There wasn't a vaccine to protect against strain B meningococcal disease when my daughter died.
When my daughter died.
When my daughter died.
But now there is.
Just get the facts and vaccinate. It's the right thing to do.
Please visit nmaus.org.
A public service message from the National Meningitis Association. Our website, nmaus.org, has details about the two vaccines that protect preteens and teens. That's www.nmaus.org.
Weather sponsored by Exergen Tempro Scanner Thermometer. A bad cold and flu season is upon us. The main difference between them is flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen Tempro Scanner Thermometer, backed by more than 70 clinical studies.
The sky becoming mostly cloudy tonight with only a small chance of a shower, the low 62. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers. Strong storms arrive after midnight tomorrow night, the high 78. Sunday, rain and storms will taper off during the morning hours, the high at 64. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Read the sign. Beware of dog. Tom Abraham is back.
Something happened to the Folds of Honor 500 pace car. Jeff Gordon was just walking around the car. We were looking at it like something happened to the front of the car. I don't know if something happened to the thing or not. I don't know what the deal is with that. All right, all the guests today appeared on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. By the way, speaking of guests, next week we will have complete coverage from spring ball of everybody who is opening up. We'll do that all throughout spring ball. We'll have at least one at the beginning and one at the end for everybody else in the league. And, of course, we'll do as much Alabama and Auburn stuff as we can as they are while they're in their spring practices. Today on the show, Pete Weber got things started. Man, was that a great conversation. I hadn't talked to Pete in a while. He was in to kick things off. Steve Merrill from Pro Sports Info joined us. Brent Sobolewski was in from the Bleacher Report, and Josh Ward was in as well, our SEC insider. They all made it into the Woody Anderson Ford Rapid Rewind. I am your campaign manager. You've been like the first hockey game I ever did. I called you and I said, hey, what do I do, man? I don't even know the team. You're like puck position. Just you can make it up on the fly to names. Puck position is what the people need to know. And that was just one of the many times. And little tidbits, including, do you still use the, I've told this story about once every 5 or 6 years. Do you still use the 3-minute egg timer that you turn over so that you make sure that you give the score at least every 3 minutes?
Because those are so difficult to find now, I'm using an electronic version of same.
Really?
You go to the kitchen supply stores, and they're not easy to find.
No. No, they're not. But I remember that story. I was like, what is it? What's up with that? And I think it was at the Alabama-Minnesota Music City game, Music City Bowl.
Yep.
I saw you there, and you had the egg timer. I'm like, what's up with the egg timer? And you're, that's a remind me to give the score every 3 minutes. So all you young broadcasters, you young wannabe broadcasters out there, there you go. There's another tidbit from
Well, I stole from that from Red Barber.
Oh, yeah? Oh, you got that from Red Barber? Oh, wow. You don't know. Look. I made a grassy knoll reference, and my producer didn't know what the hell I was talking about. So the listener base might not know Red Barber, unfortunately. And speaking of which,
he was the guy who guided Vin Scully into this business.
Yes.
So let's leave it at that.
Which is a good segue before I get to this amazing Predator team, because you're a seam head like I am. It's 15 baseball games today, man. I mean, it's just,
yes.
it's my, you know what I mean? It's, I got the MLB.TV going and watching different games. It's spring training. Number 74 is batting. Number 91 is pitching. I don't care. isn't there something just so beautiful about spring training baseball early in spring training?
Well, I know you're like me, and we don't care if they have triple digits on their backs.
No.
Just happy to see the boys back out on the field. Pitching, catching, throwing, fielding, see if what five-tool player we can uncover for our own, and then follow that player on along for Lord knows how many seasons.
Yeah, it's tremendous. And that MLB.TV or whatever it is, the deal,
yes.
To be able to listen to get, because what I'll do is on Saturday and Sunday, I'll be, you know, farting around in the garage or cutting the grass or whatever, and I'll, as a Yankee fan, I'll have John Sterling on. I know people either love him or you hate him. I love him. But I'll listen to John Sterling and Susan Waldman do the game, and it's just music to my ears. I just love listening to baseball on the radio still. And of course, we're a Braves affiliate here.
For many years, I published and sold to broadcasters a special baseball scorebook back when I was doing the game every day for 18 summers. And one of my regular customers was Susan Waldman. And
really?
John Sterling, I first met him when he was doing the Atlanta Hawks and also a talk show on the Atlanta's flagship station. I was doing the Seattle Supersonics. We had a game that was about to go into the fourth overtime at the Kingdom. John, because of the time difference, had already done a three-hour talk show, went directly into the game, had not had a bathroom break. He needed one desperately. We faked with the help of Nancy Welch, the PR director for the Sonics, an emergency phone call for John Sterling. And of course, he goes on the air. Well, I guess I better take this. Here I hand the microphone to the back table here, and Skip Carey will do a simulcast while I'm gone taking this important call. He sprinted down the sideline, which was along the first baseline of the King Dome, went into the dugout commode, and came out 5 minutes later with the most relaxed look on his face one can imagine.
That is amazing. What a great, great story. You need to do one of these anecdotal books if you haven't yet. I mean, because you've been around the horn.
I have not yet. I certainly plan to.
How great is the story, too, of, I mean, you know, folks know who Josh Lewin is. You know, he's a noted broadcaster, been a noted broadcaster now. But I mean, back in the day, I believe was Tom Decker. Wasn't he the voice at one point of the was it he, who was doing the games? Or I can't remember who was doing the games now.
Well, Josh sort of started doing scoreboards when Jay Colley and I were doing the Red Wings.
Yeah, but remember when Josh was like 14 or 15 years old, and he would literally sit up in the stands at in Rochester Red Wings Stadium, the AAA team up north, and he would do the games. And then at one point in time, I think when he was 16, he was actually invited up into the booth to do a game because of some conflict whoever it was that was doing the games had.
And I think at that point it might have been Bob Drew, who was maybe the combination general manager announcer. There you go for combining duties.
You know, I know the ratings were down or higher in the South than they were nationally, but they were down in our part of the country as well for the Daytona 500, dramatically. But it was still the most watched thing outside of the Olympics. It was the most watched thing in sports over the weekend. But I'll tell you what, if people aren't watching, didn't have anything to do with the racing. That was outstanding racing throughout the race. And especially at the end, and for that number three car of Austin Dillon to win on a bump and run, and the 43 car to be behind him, and the 11 car, I mean, goodness gracious almighty. If people aren't paying attention, they need to start paying attention.
Yeah, we said it last year. I mean, the ratings are as low as they've ever been. The attendance is probably as bad as it's been in quite a while. Yet I think the competition, and I really think the product itself is as good as I've seen. I love the format. We talked about the stage racing last week, and did I not call it, Tom? I said we're going to see a crash just like we do in the final lap, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, these guys raced for the first stage like it was the final lap. Now, the bad news, of course, is that you can't do that on a restrictor plate track because you end up taking out a ton of cars. Jimmy Johnson, some other big names were taken out earlier in the race. But it once again shows how much more competitive these races are midway because of the stage racing. That's why I'm a big fan of it.
And as much as I think it would be good for NASCAR for the three to be running up front and be competitive every week and so on, the Daytona 500 typically does not necessarily portend that you're going to have a great season, right? I mean, it's like, you know, a guy wins at Daytona 500, okay, he won at Daytona 500, and he can end up missing the playoff or being in the middle of the pack by the time you get to the end of the year, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Daytona 500 is the most overrated sporting event in sports, not just NASCAR, and all of sports. I mean, it's their Super Bowl, yet it's basically a preseason game, and that's what it should be. In any other sport, that would be a preseason game. The Super Bowl, the NBA Finals, those are at the end of the season, not the first week. And there's a reason, because not because the teams aren't ready, because it's the shortest offseason in sports. It's only 3 months. There's a little bit of a change this year. You know, some different drivers, different cars, but the same usual suspects are there again. The reason it's such a random event is just because the cars are bunched together, and basically whoever gets that last pass on the last turn of the last lap wins the race. It's the second year in a row that the winner of the race did not lead any other lap the entire race. That doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, when you're running for two or 3 hours, you're running several hundred laps. You know, you probably should lead more than one lap to really be considered the best car, the winner. The Daytona and the Talladega races are like that, but it's still a fun race to watch. It's always exciting at the end. And, you know, Austin Dillon is capable of winning on some other tracks. He's not going to be a contender for the most part like these other drivers. Kurt Busch won last year. He was a little bit more of a legitimate contender, I thought. He's a past champion. But this is what we see at the restrictor plate tracks, and that's another reason why we don't have those in the Chase, and I don't think we should. I mean, they had Talladega in the Chase, but it just really, you know, you start to wonder if that really should be one of the final 10 events.
But they are really racy, you know what I mean? I mean, it's edge of your seat racing the whole way. I know a lot of the guys don't like it, but, you know, the fans, I think, love it. And, you know, to follow a guy around and draft and you know, save on fuel and make that late move. I mean, you can go all the way back to the 70s, the old slingshot move, you know. It used to be the slingshot move where you pull out and make the pass late. It does make for a fun Sunday to watch some racing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think I like the fact that we have different tracks. I wish we had a few more road courses, and you and I have talked about that. I think 36 races, they could probably do more than two road courses. I also would like to see a road course in the final 10. I think that, you know, if you're going to have a restrictor plate in the final 10, why not put a road course? There are too many cookie-cutter tracks. And, of course, when I say cookie-cutter, I'm talking about the 1 to 2 mile intermediate speedways, which make up over half the races. And that's where guys like Austin Dillon don't do quite as well. The Toyotas, especially Truex, Kyle Busch last year, and Kyle Larson and the Chevy, they dominated those tracks. And those are the guys who are going to dominate again this season. One thing about these restrictor plates, though, you know, it's a random finish, but the usual suspects still do quite well. Denny Hamlin, as you mentioned, ran very well once again. He's consistently a top 10 car at those tracks. Keselowski was strong, even though he didn't have a great finish. He got taken out early. Logano ran well again, even though he didn't finish last season very strong. He's been strong all week at Daytona. So I think, you know, once again, it's a little bit predictable, even though it seems very unpredictable with the actual winner.
All right. How did your interview with Mason Rudolph go? I see the story posted, but talk a little bit about what your takeaway was from Mason Rudolph after visiting with him, who, by the way, is ranked, you know, by some. I know this might sound a little bit goofy, but a guy that we had on earlier in the week that did a really good job with us on the draft as well, he came on and he has Mason Rudolph as his number one quarterback overall, which was really kind of surprising to me. But what was your takeaway?
Well, getting to talk to him, I wish we could have gone deeper. And that's simply because I love to get into the X's and O's and talk a little ball and kind of hit on the things that we hear as overall negatives. And he did a wonderful job explaining, and at least in one or two of the questions I asked, about what his responsibilities were within the offense. And that's an important part of this process because we look at – and let me give you an example from just today, what my colleague Matt Miller posted, scouts take on some of the top quarterback prospects. And one of the first things mentioned about Lamar Jackson, for example, is he smart enough? Now, we can go into the conversation of exactly what that means, but the reality is when you're questioning those things, it's because you don't have a good understanding of what he was asked to do within his offense. And I find it important that when we attack these type of narratives to discuss these things and to get them out in the open. And even though you may not consistently see it on tape, you need to understand what the responsibilities are within the scheme. And to, that was the biggest takeaway from it, knowing more of what that how that Oklahoma State offense runs, what how much of the onus is placed on the quarterback, and how much responsibility he has overall. Now, with that said, while I enjoyed our conversation, it was a 45-minute interview overall. A lot of things that the question marks we have about his games couldn't be answered simply through a conversation. While he can describe some of the things he's telling me, there still are concerns, and legitimate concerns with his play based on what you see through film over 4 years. And those are things he's working on, his footwork, his upper body mechanics. And I found it surprising, ironically, that he's working with the former Cowboy of the record he broke, all the passing records at Oklahoma State, and that's Zach Robinson. Zach Robinson, who is a disciple of Tom House and the throwing mechanics school guru that you know out in California. So he consistently continues to work on those aspects with the timing and the footwork and how he marries his lower body with his upper body. We can continue to see him improve in certain areas, but that's yet to be determined. And what it comes down to me is he's obviously a centered young man, comes from a great family, someone that could be a face of your franchise as long as you're comfortable with what his on-field skill set is, and that's still the question mark.
Yeah. You know, when you look at this quarterback class, and it was funny, you know, what I saw about Lamar Jackson was that comment earlier in the week when they were talking about whether or not, you know, he was tall enough. What now, 6'3" is not tall enough? He's very slight at 200 pounds. He certainly is a playmaker. And who knows if he's smart enough, right? Until he goes through all of the paces at the combine and you know, and we see that, you know, then we will determine. Look, I'll be brutally honest with you. I see a lot of Vince Young when you see his game. I mean, his game is very natural. He's got all kinds of skills and so on. Vince Young, God bless him, was dumb as a stump. And he used to come over. He used to come on my show. He used to come over when I would broadcast from Titans camp. And he was a fun kid, but he was a big kid. But I remember asking Mike Heimerdinger, you know, do you give him read routes? And he says, are you kidding me? Read routes? We got to write on his hand the number of the guy we want him to throw the football to. I mean, it was, you know, it was that bad with him.
I understand questioning a quarterback's ability to process information. That is very much a part of the evaluation, how they are able to understand opposing defenses pre- and post-snap. That's a very big part of the process and trying to understand how that they can react once they, if they have the quick eyes to really get through an NFL defense quickly throughout his progression. That's legitimate. But to openly question how smart he is when you're not doing that with other quarterbacks, that's problematic. And because when you look at Lamar Jackson, yes, absolutely, there's areas within his game that need to be improved. But I can say that about every single one of the prospects that are being considered at the top of the first round, and he's not. And we're not getting the same question marks for them as we are him. If his height's a problem, then why isn't it for Baker Mayfield? If his accuracy is a problem, why isn't it for Josh Allen? And that's the question mark here. That's the double standard that we're seeing with certain prospects as compared to others. And I'm not trying to make it into a racial thing. I just find it problematic that we talk about prospects in a certain way when we have an unfair advantage for other players. And that, to me, that's what becomes bothersome. We need to have an honest conversation about them throughout this process and evaluating them without tearing them down in my opinion, inconsequential ways. At least phrase it differently, or at least point out what exactly you're looking at instead of just giving a blanket statement on a player that's obviously very talented, a good young man, and yes, needs areas to improve.
Is it again, the majority of this at this level here from today's discoveries are the cheating between players and agents, and that's why, if they ever get rid of the one and done and these players, these kids can sign with an agent at that particular point in time. The other part of this, which was so stunning to me, was how detailed and in, these balance sheets. I mean, this is all worked up and everything like it's just a normal business operation. These agents know that they're way, way out of line doing this stuff. Is it surprising to you at all how much level of detail, these typed out documents with exactly what everybody has gotten and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, a little bit. Let's see if there's any information that they have with communication with people connected to college basketball that affects things. But I mean, it's good. It's good accounting, isn't it? It's good.
Sure is.
Note taking so that you can have everything taken care of at the end of the year from a financial standpoint. But it's not ideal today, or wasn't when the FBI was looking through information. When you have you have an exact reason for Brian Bowen's flight or his mother's flight or something connected to Josh Jackson. I mean, it's pretty cut and dry when you see it written why that money was passed along. Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the Oregon Chip Kelly issue where it's like, well, you had some things buttoned up internally, but that's not what you're supposed to do. There's a reason cash is the preferred payment method, but this is, again, a little different. These aren't – Andy Miller's not at a school. He's out there in the agency world, but does he have information of, this coach knew that I was doing this, and this coach promised me that he would help me get the player back once he was ready to go pro? That's what I think we're waiting to find out is what kind of a connection, and is there any document and proof, is there written communication that would back that up?
In the meantime, Josh Ward with us, our SEC insider. In the meantime, two SEC coaches are finalists for the National Coach of the Year. The Naismith Award is the Coach of the Year. And, of course, that's Rick Barnes and Bruce Pearl. And Barnes has done a tremendous job. It's hard not to look at Bruce Pearl of anybody on that list. It's hard not to look at the job that Bruce Pearl has done and with all of the different issues that they've had along the ways, whether they were self-inflicted at the beginning of the season or whether they were injuries and things like that, to not think that he's got to be the guy that everybody's chasing.
Yeah, and Bruce Pearl's a fascinating part of this story because on the court, it's remarkably impressive what he's been able to do with the record that he has. The SEC has been so good this season and deep, and any night you can lose to any team, and that really is the case. Look at who some of the good teams have lost to or almost lost to, and Auburn has risen above all of them with players that can't play because of the issues we're talking about with the NCAA investigations, and then you have injuries that affected them recently. That went over Alabama the other night was a big one for Auburn, but you also have the question, well, in a couple of months, is Bruce Pearl going to be Auburn's basketball coach? I don't know, but in a year where the league is as strong as it's been in a long time, it's two teams that for different reasons receive very little attention at the start of the season, Auburn and Tennessee, and it's really impressive. And, of course, you have both coaches that are former Tennessee coaches in Bruce Pearl and Rick Barnes. They've both done an outstanding job, and they both have a chance to get really high seeds in the NCAA tournament in a couple of weeks ago, despite their roster limitations. So both are no-brainer candidates for Coach of the Year with the jobs that they've done with a week and a half still to go in the regular season.
So there you have it. That is your Rapid Rewind for this, the 23rd of February, 2018. We'll come back, final segment next, right here on 730 1039. Yep.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039. The Ump. Here's what you'll hear tonight on The Ump.
There are no games on the air tonight, but you can tune in this weekend for Alabama men's basketball, women's basketball, and even Crimson Tide baseball. That's all weekend, all right here on The Ump.
A new state-of-the-art indoor shooting range is coming to Huntsville. Bullet and Barrel.
Offering 19 indoor climate-controlled lanes and a fully stocked store with firearms, accessories, and clothing.
Bullet and Barrel provides professional-friendly firearms training. Great for new and experienced shooters. Become a member now at a special pre-grand opening rate. Bullet and Barrel. On Lehman Ferry Road near the corner of Airport Road. And online at bulletandbarrel.com. Bullet and Barrel. Serious fun.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at the Home Depot.
Chili's wants to know, when was the last time you had a great lunch?
When was the last time you had a great lunch?
Oh, and we're singing too.
We go way back, baby, back with our singing.
Yeah, we do, but lunch is our thing too.
We've got 10 lunches for just $7.
Burgers, quesadillas, just $7 for lunch.
Just $7 for 10 awesome lunches.
It's even better when you say it that way.
It's pretty much the same thing, but I flipped it. Chili's is back, baby, back, baby, back.
With lunch for $7.
Or take Chili's lunch to go, baby, go, baby, go.
Available at participating restaurants only. Prices may vary in Hawaii. Not available in Alaska and Canada.
The Capital One Saver Card presents the invention of the sandwich.
Sir, the snack you requested.
Ooh, look at that. Bread and meat and bread again. By decree of me, the Earl of Sandwich, I shall call it the sandwich.
Brilliant, sir.
The sandwich was once the next big thing in food. Now, it's the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 3% cash back on dining, 2% on groceries, and 1% on all other purchases.
What's in your wallet?
Capital One Bank, USANA.
Right now at Pizza Hut, get 50% off all menu price pizzas when you order online. Because no one out-pizzas the Hut. Click for this limited time offer. Product availability, combinability of discounts, prices of participation may vary. Discount not applicable to tax, delivery charge, or driver tip. Delivery charge is not a driver tip.
The Ump. Where champions are crowned.
As the Penguins on their bench start to celebrate for the second straight season, the Pittsburgh Penguins are the Stanley Cup champion. Helmets, sticks, gloves flying everywhere as the Penguins mob Matt Murray, the first back-to-back Stanley Cup champs since the 97 and 98 Detroit Red Wings.
On Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump.
Hi, I'm Marion Platt, and welcome to Heartbeat. The other day, a friend made the observation that it's amazing that people don't bump into each other while walking because everyone seems to be preoccupied with their cell phone or iPad. I've noticed that on busy city streets, it's rare that anyone looks up anymore. Everyone seems to be preoccupied. Are you one of these people? What preoccupies your mind? Maybe you need to take a break from what you're holding in your hand and look up. There's so much to be seen, so much life to experience. Jesus said that he came to give us life so that we could live it to its fullest. Don't allow yourself to get too busy to enjoy life. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
The sky becoming mostly cloudy tonight with only a small chance of a shower, the low 62. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a chance of scattered showers. Strong storms arrive after midnight tomorrow night, the high 78. Sunday, rain and storms will taper off during the morning hours, the high at 64. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The Ump.
All right, that week is in the can. Enjoy all of the great action this weekend, and we'll chat on Monday. For Antonio McBeth, I am Tom Abraham. This is 730-1039. Yum.
And 1039, The Ump. More sports.
Fun new state-of-the-art indoor shooting range is coming to Huntsville. Bullet and Barrel.
Offering 19 indoor climate-controlled lanes and a fully stocked store with firearms, accessories, and clothing.
Bullet and Barrel provides professional-friendly firearms training. Great for new and experienced shooters. Become a member now at a special pre-grand opening rate. Bullet and Barrel. On Lehman Ferry Road near the corner of Airport Road.
And online at bulletandbarrel.com.
Bullet and Barrel. Serious fun. Valley Equipment Rental is a family-owned and operated business proudly serving all the Tennessee Valley. Basing the business on you, the customer, Valley Equipment Rental caters to do-it-yourselfers, contractors, landscapers, and homeowners. No job is too big or too small. You'll find the right equipment at the right price at Valley Equipment Rental. Call today, 256-964-6081. Valley Equipment Rental in Huntsville, 256-964-6081. Or online at valleyequipmentrents.com.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. Grasshopper.com/radio.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
Had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at the Home Depot.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Start the spring season right with big lawn and garden savings at Ace. Now through Monday only. Get our coupon at acehardware.com and save 25% on a regular priced item under $50. That's 25% savings on great products from Scotts, Miracle-Gro, Roundup, Ortho, and more throughout the store. Hurry in now to get 25% savings only at your local Ace. Offer valid with coupon at participating stores through February 26th. Limit 1. Exclusions apply. See coupon.
What happened? You used to go hours without visiting the bathroom. Now it seems like you're constantly getting up to pee, and you're even getting up at night to go. This is not okay. Listen, the makers of Super Beta Prostate, the number one prostate formula, are introducing a new wonder pill, Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced, with three key ingredients that are great for your prostate. It's like taking three prostate supplements in one. To celebrate, we're sending free bottles to men who want to cut down on bathroom trips. Yes, your first 30-day supply is free. Pay shipping and handling.
Call 1-800-341-4181.
Early research suggests that an ingredient in P3 Advanced may help support a normal prostate size. Combine that with a reduction in urges to pee, and you have a formula you'd be crazy not to try. Get P3 Advanced free.
Call 1-800-341-4181. 1-800-341-4181. 1-800-341-4181.
It's on. JCPenney is going big on savings all weekend long. Friday through Sunday, score a whopping 60% off Arizona denim for the family and 60% off Arizona for kids. Tops, jeans, shorts, and more. Yeah. Plus, no worries. Arizona quality is guaranteed for 1 year with your receipt. A win-win? We think so. Savings so big, you don't need a coupon. This weekend at JCPenney. Offer represents savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
What is us?
Us is a foundation.
Us is the future.
Us is a bond.
But right now, that bond is fraying.
And we need a place that could make it whole.
From diabetes prevention to safety around water.
The Y fills the gaps.
And bridges our divides.
But they can't do it without us.
WUMP Madison. W28OBA Madison Huntsville. A Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The